As a business owner, how helpful would it be for you to have employee training and industry resources at your fingertips? That's why Federated Mutual Insurance Company recently launched MyShield, the online client destination for risk management resources. MyShield has resources to help your business with risk management. Already a Federated client? What are you waiting for? Get registered today so you can jump on MyShield through federatedinsurance.com or download the app. If you're not already a client, talk to your Federated marketing rep today. At Federated, it's our business to protect yours.
Hockey! Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
Here it is.
Hold on a second.
Judd's Hockey Show. You can barely hear me probably right now because I'm waving the flag. That's right. The losing streak is over. It's winning time in Boston. The Bruins tried to cheap shot the Wild constantly tonight. And you know what? 3-2, baby. Wild wins. Matthew Boldy scores. My write that down comes true. All of those good things take place. Wait, I got to put the flag back in a safe location. Yep. Okay, flag is back in a safe location. Welcome in Judd's Hockey Show. Judd and Declan reacting to the Wild, very shorthanded by the end. Want to get into that. Wild victory against the Boston Bruins in Boston. But before I do anything, I'm going to correct.
Oh, good for you.
Despite the fact that they're not a primary sponsor,
good
I don't really care.
That's okay.
A Surly Furious IPA. Hold on. Let me do the pour. I'm going to try and do the pour right.
You got some slack last time. Actually, you're on the spot. Go.
Okay, so it has to go this way, right?
Yeah, you have to, tilt it and slow. Slow and steady wins the race on a pour here, Judd.
Wait, hold on.
Yes,
hold on.
Perfect speed.
Hold on.
Good help turn. Yep, this is good. This is a nice okay. pour.
All right, folks, what do we think?
Yep. All right, now tip the glass down while you finish it off. Yes. I poured beer at the Minnesota State Fair. I know
nice.
How this works.
Thanks,
see?
Dutch.
See? I'm good for some things. That's St. Cloud State Education coming in fact.
Oh,
right
yes.
there,
well,
baby.
Well, St. Cloud's the harbor of beer drinking. St. Cloud is the... Okay, right there. Hold on. Does that taste good after a victory against the big, bad Boston Bruins? All right, Dex. Let's start here, because I think we should just cut to the chase, because I don't think the ESPN telecast... Much controversy about
that,
by the way. I don't think they did a good job of addressing this. We are both not Valley Sports North.
No.
Okay.
I go out of my way not to watch it.
Yeah. Well, and yes, you do. But I mean, we also, we want the local teams to win because it's more fun.
Yeah.
But we also call a spade. And if people start to dump on the refs or the opponent, I think you, me, and Phil are both like, hold on a second here. Let's back off. I will start off by telling you that when it comes to the second period hit by Trent Frederick on Kirill Kaprizov, which brought an end to Kaprizov's night, and he reportedly has an upper body injury, which I think could be a shoulder or a head. I don't know. I hate that hit. Like, I despise, in today's game, I despise, and I would feel the same way if Pasternak got hit by Ben, okay? I don't know about your thoughts. I hate that hit. I don't approve. The more I watched it, I thought, did you really need to do it? Like, I get completing the check. I don't get completing the check how he did it. There's nothing about that hit, and I hate to take sides here, but... Mm-hmm. There's nothing about that hit on a star player that I approve of. Now, if it wasn't a star player, I'd still not like the hit. But if Kirill Kaprizov, and it looks like he might miss his time, I don't understand how nobody on the ESPN telecast, Declan.
Yeah.
I don't understand how nobody, including between periods, was upset about it.
Two things. Number one, I don't like the hit either. Anytime a guy's back is turned... and he's a defenseless player going into the boards. It's not going to be a good recipe, and it's going to be a bad call. And it's a bad situation to be in. And Kirill got hurt, and Frederick was going after him all game, just like Jackson in our YouTube comment section is saying. By the way, if you want more Minnesota Wild and Minnesota sports content, hit that subscribe button right here on our YouTube channel. But I have been advocating going back for almost 2 years now, and honestly, so have you, about ESPN and the NHL getting back together, because this sport needs it. It needed it. And I know there are some people that were iffy on this partnership. NBC Sports did a great job, and hockey fans demand a lot. They demand a lot from their broadcasts, and rightfully so. It's a cult sport. It's a niche sport compared to the other three major sports. And for ESPN to basically ignore the hit, and I know they're going through reps, so there's going to be some trial by fire here, but you tweeted this out, and I agree with you. Them not having a studio crew, like a true studio crew, really hurts them here. Like, Linda Cohen has always embraced hockey and does a phenomenal job endorsing this game. I'm not putting this blame on Linda or at anyone at all. I think Messier was not the best choice to be talking about that hit, since he basically also ignored it. But not having some type of NBA TNT crew, right? Like, yeah, he literally, pun intended, delivered the hit.
Yeah,
It was really disappointing, because I've had high hopes for ESPN. I still think in the long run, it's an incredible thing that the NHL is back on ESPN. They need to be, to really market their game to a common sports fan. But tonight's broadcast, to me, was incredibly disappointing.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't mind the actual, I didn't think it was great. I didn't mind the actual game broadcast, but the studio show, like, I'll say this for them. TNT's done a great job. TNT has embraced this. Have they had kinks to work out?
Yeah, the TNT, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But the studio show is the signature TNT, relaxed, having fun. Biz, I think, is fantastic.
Love Biz.
Like, I love him. Mm-hmm. He's off the cuff and weird, but I love that.
It's great.
And the game broadcast, like, TNT. So what they do that I really like, and I used to take this for granted, but I don't know. TNT gives any game that they do a big game feel. Like, it feels important. And I used to think, well, of course it does, a national game. But the more I watch games, or the more that I did, I should say, watch games nationally, Dex, the more I realized that's not as simple as it seems. And ESPN feels like it's knocking games off. Like, okay, we're done with another one. But the Kaprizov thing, to go back to that, and that hit, I'm going to draw a parallel that's a little bit difficult to draw, because I'm not, like, I realize it's murky, but, you know, football has tried to take that hit out of its sport through the use of the term defenseless player, right? And that's a murky term. Like, there's times where we all say, how is the defender supposed to move not to hit the receiver, the defenseless receiver, in the head? That's a really tough call. But I do appreciate the fact, with concussions, and they are and should be a big deal, that football is trying to say, hey, but we don't want those type of hits in our sport. I agree with that. I felt like the Frederick hit on Kaprizov, and then there was also one delivered by, I think it was Carlo on Sturm at the end of the second period. I feel like those hits, which come close to the head, should be avoided at all costs. At all costs. And Dex, you're right. Kaprizov was turned oddly. I think you've got to ask the guy, and this I'm sure could be debated by some. I think you've got to ask the guy, to slow his roll. Like, I don't understand. Like, what did that hit do that was so important? And if Kaprizov is lost now, that ain't good for the Wild or the game.
Right.
So I abhor that hit. Like, I would rather see fighting. I would rather see there's a lot of things, open ice checks, which are called now at times. There's a lot of things that I would take as far as not being upset by. But when a guy is twisted against the boards and a guy is coming in, and these are pro players. So, I mean, they have body control that a guy like Judd Zolgad or Declan Goff does not. I think asking them and saying, look, this is a defenseless player, you've got to adjust. And Frederick was called, so, like, they got him. But I don't know. I hate that play. I hate that because it can lead to concussions, spinal cord problems. It can just lead to so many bad things.
It depends how you want to look at it, but what's unfortunate or fortunate on it is, because Frederick hit Kirill and not Nico Sturm, does that mean the Players Safety Association is going to come down on him? You know, like, because he literally hit a star player, and we'll obviously wait and see how severe the injury is. Wasn't good him coming off the ice and not playing at all in the third period. Indications are, I'm going to guess, he's not going to be able to play Saturday against Washington, just a first initial guess on that.
You're right.
But does the league now come down harder on Frederick, who was clearly going after him all game? And you know what? Like, that stuff happens. Like, goons and tough guys are going to antagonize star players on the opposing team. That stuff is going to happen. But for him to throw a dirty hit, and then now you're without the star player, and then also for the broadcast to basically just say, oh, wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, I didn't like the broadcast.
I'm glad that they killed off the penalty, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't like to get on referees. This is a podcast where we don't blame referees. Mm-hmm. We don't assess a lot of blame to it, and rightfully so. And we're never going to be that kind of pod. But I just thought tonight, officiating not being great. I mean, whistles were being blown all over the damn place. And then for the broadcast crew, I was really looking forward to it being on the mothership, man. I mean, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want your local team being back on ESPN tonight for the first time in forever?
Sure.
And that's the performance that's delivered. And to be honest, I think what stinks, and obviously we have a lot of people in the room right now and a lot of people are watching us, but what stinks is it overshadows a lot of good things that did happen tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Like Matthew Boldy scores in his debut. Well, Kaapo Kakko was great, and I know we'll get into it here.
We're getting all those things, but I agree
now there's this like this murky feel from a game that the Wild got 2 points over a good team, and the main storyline is basically things that weren't happening that the Wild were doing.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. I don't think I've ever seen. So I've watched hockey since 1978. I don't think I've ever seen in one game, but for sure. In one period, 2 penalties called at the same time twice for 5-on-3s. By the way, the Wild scored. So if you're a Wild fan, that's good. That was weird. The Kaprizov thing, and I don't even blame the officials there. I just hate the hit. I want that out. I don't like it. And if you're going to crack down on all the things that they're trying to crack down on, I'm not blaming the officials. I hate that hit. All right, let's go to I see right now, which is Boldy is straight cash homie from Levi, who's watching, and we appreciate that. Levi, Matthew Boldy was as good as I thought he would be. I am a fan. I don't know. I mean, so my experience with watching him, Dex, does not go back to college. I didn't see him much in college, but two years ago, in my favorite tournament, the World Juniors, he played and was fantastic. And at times we saw that again tonight. And on the shift he scored, which was right after a Wild power play expired, on the shift he scored, he controlled that shift. Like, he looked like he had been playing for 4 years. And that didn't necessarily translate to the entire game, but I don't care. This guy has, in my opinion, he's a winger who has the attributes of a center at times. I love how he plays. I love the fact that he's a strong player. I mean, I thought to myself, and this guy actually didn't have a bad game, but I thought to myself at one point, I hope that at least from the bench, Charlie Coyle is watching this closely, because this is who we expected you to be, buddy. This is what, and I think Boldy is going to fulfill that promise. But my initial impression, he did not disappoint at all. And I think it's only going to take off from here. I just think his style and his, the way that he plays, all of that lends itself to being very successful in this league.
And I know they didn't want to overwhelm him, but yeah, I mean, when he was on the ice, he was noticeable in a good way. But in all situations, I mean, he only logged 13 minutes of ice time, and I know a lot of whistles were drawn. It was a lot of special teams being played by both teams, but I thought he was very impressive. Our assessment of him was pretty universal, that we thought he'd make an immediate impact over Marco Rossi, and he did. I don't think Rossi was bad tonight. He was quiet. I know he took a penalty at 12 seconds of that power play. Again, a bad call on the referees.
Yeah.
But I thought Boldy in general, I mean, he's done everything you could ask of him. He was a stud at in college, and he dominated the AHL in 30 games or so. So he should be able to stay up here for a long time. And I thought for him to obviously have the big game in his hometown was awesome. And to your Charlie Coyle point, yeah, that's what we thought Charlie Coyle could be throughout his Wild tenure. And look, Charlie's turned himself to a nice NHL player. And when it's all said and done, he has a nice career and probably is going to flirt with playing 1,000 games in his NHL career, which is good for him. Mm-hmm. But that performance is the kind of like, oh, this is why he was a first-round pick. This is what Charlie Coyle also could have been. I thought Boldy's debut was incredible. He played very, very well, and if there's more bodies down too, by the way, with Kirill potentially being out on Saturday, is this someone who was going to just be in getting even more ice time against the Capitals?
You think so, right? So now what?
I would think so.
They're without Ek. They're probably, as you said, I think you're right, without Kirill on Saturday. Spurgeon is still out. So yeah, you're probably right, and I'm not surprised that his game immediately translated to the pros. What do the statistics say about Rossi's game? Because I saw him a few times. It didn't feel like I saw him a lot, but I don't really put a lot of stock in that being his first game at a position where it probably is going to take a little bit more time if there's going to be a quote-unquote impact. What do the analytics say about Marco Rossi's debut?
Yeah, he had a solid game, solid day. Okay. He wasn't on the ice for any goals, but he didn't allow any goals. Corsi-wise, he was out-possessing the team. He obviously was able to log up a decent amount of power play time. I mean, he played a ton of power play time today, too, so I thought he was solid. Did he get the goal that Boldy got? No. But I think it's probably overshadowed a little bit, but I thought Marco Rossi was incredibly solid. He didn't look overmatched, which I think that was probably the fear both these kids would look. Your first NHL game, deer in headlights, emotions, excitement, all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
I thought Rossi and the analytics and statistics back it up was just solid tonight. I mean, he was solid. He's a young kid. He's younger. But I thought he was solid, and the numbers backed it up as well.
Two power play goals.
Yeah.
God bless America. Two power play goals. Almost three. I love the fact that they juggled that. I love the fact that Dean, after the Winter Classic Blues game, said our power play sucks. The acknowledgement there, and then to come out on the road against the Boston team that had been playing well, to be clear, to get two power play goals, that's the type of thing that I think is incredibly important. And I know that the juggling in some ways was forced because guys are out and hurt right now. But I also think the fact that Dean was proactive, and I will say this, I think Boldy on the power play is going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be absolutely fantastic because, again, his multi-layered skill set is going to allow him to make plays too. And actually, you know what, too? Kaprizov, when he's playing, obviously, is really good at that as well. We are looking at a league now where you know, if you're Fiala and you can score goals, flat out score goals, that's fantastic. That's great. But when you look at a guy like Boldy who has the ability to make plays too more mm-hmm. consistently, that is so huge. That is so huge. And it seems like Boldy, Kaprizov for sure, both have the ability that when they do make plays, it's not a fluke. Like that's part of their skill set. Fiala can make plays and Fiala is fantastic, but I really feel like deep down, he's a guy that scores goals.
Right.
And can make great plays and at times can make plays for himself. But when we're talking about a layered skill set that gives you the ability to be almost as dangerous a passer as goal scorer, that's where you cross into a very interesting dynamic of your game definitely goes up a notch.
We discussed this with the Hockey Whisperer, which I'm sure the Hockey Whisperer is actually looking into his crystal ball this evening as we speak to bring some takes to Mackey and Judd
7
tomorrow.
O'clock there. The Hockey Whisperer yeah. is probably at a nice
He's got a nice
Seattle.
Nice Merlot or nice, nice little red.
IPA
or a nice
possibly.
Surly Furious. You know, I'm pumping my body with Emergency after testing negative again for COVID.
I'm glad
so I'm not taking any
negative.
Chances. But at the same time, the Pandora's box that's opening with the Wild when you have Marco Rossi and Matthew Boldy on this team is a good thing because, you know, I do think Kevin Fiala was pressing. It was no doubt that the majority of the season he was pressing. He was snake bit, and you know he's hitting more posts than anyone else in the league.
Right.
But the Wild were still able to get goals from other guys, and that's great. Well, you plug in guys like Matthew Boldy and Rossi, and now they start to alleviate some of that pressure. And, oh, by the way, don't forget about Kevin Fiala. Like, I thought the Bruins did a decent job at shutting him down. Fiala was noticeable tonight. Like, Fiala had a Fiala game. Like, he wasn't bad tonight. He was noticeable in some areas.
I'm
with you. But the Bruins put a focus on trying to shut him down. Does that mean then, or what that does mean, I should say, is that Boldy and Rossi are going to be rewarded with more chances. And now all of a sudden, I mean, just think about, and this is where maybe you get too crazy to think, but once Ek comes back, well, now you have Kaprizov and Fiala and Boldy and Rossi contributing to their 100th percentile, and now this team is rolling. That's why Bill Guerin was patient. That's why he didn't mortgage the farm to get Jack Eichel, right? Like, there was a thought and a process here, and yes, having a guy that has been there and done that and also not being rash to make a decision just to make one, I think proves dividends. Like, we love reckless speculation on this show and on Score North. We love recklessly speculating, and we'll continue to recklessly speculate for this team going into the trade deadline. Our friend Jesse Pierce, friend of the show from Bar Down Beauties, came on Write That Down yesterday and said Kaapo Kakkonen is going to be traded by the NHL trade deadline. Kaapo, which I'm sure we're about to get into here, played great tonight. Boston's damn good, and Kaapo held them at bay. So I'm excited what other reckless things that can happen, but with Boldy and Rossi being plugged in on this team, it's only good for this team's offense going forward.
Before we talk about Kaapo, I did some insiding.
Mm-hmm.
I can't name names.
All right.
With a person who watches the Iowa Wild a lot. And what I was told on Rossi is, and tonight's show proved it. Now I saw him, just to backtrack a little bit, Dex, I saw him in the prospects camp against the Blackhawks, and he was phenomenal. But that's the prospects camp. So, like, he's not going to step in here and be as dominant against grown men who are pros. But what I was told was, don't expect Rossi to knock your socks off. Playing him with Fiala is really smart because the speed of Kevin is huge, and that he is a great facilitator, and that he will make great plays. But he's not this, like, ultra Dennis Savard, unbelievable type of player.
Okay.
Which looked to be true, which looked to be tonight. So I think it's fair to say that I remain very intrigued, though, by a long-term relationship on a line, if it's possible, where Fiala and Rossi can be paired. Because I do think we'll start to see that pay off. And to be clear on Kevin, too. I mean, you continue to use, and you're right, the word snake bit. Kevin Fiala has his shortcomings. But I will say, I don't think, unless I can be proven wrong, that he has had a bad year. Like, I think Kevin plays Kevin's game. Is that going to make a coach happy 100% of the time? No, it's not. Is it a game that's underachieving and he's a quote-unquote dog? Heck no. So I think if you get him with the right guy, and if Marco Rossi is the right guy, I really like the potential there. Because, as you said, Dex, teams are going to work to take away from Kevin what Kevin is good at. What I like about Kevin is he's going to continue to try and score and do what is successful for him. So if he gets the right pivot, that's huge. That's absolutely huge. And do I think that Goudreau is the right center for Fiala long-term? I do not. I think he's a third or fourth line guy. But the Rossi thing intrigues me. Boldy, I think Boldy might finally be, and I hesitate because it's one game,
yep,
to say this. But I have always wanted the Wild to have the winger who is – and I think one of the first great ones is actually, I believe he's president of the Bruins now, Cam Neely, when he was traded from Vancouver to Boston, Dex, established himself as what became known as a power forward in the sport, right? And I always wanted Coyle to be that guy, and he never was. I then said, Jordan Greenway. And he's sort of shown that at times, but it's not consistent. I think Boldy can be that. I really do, because I think he's got the game. I think he's got the skill, and I think he's definitely got the body. So, Yeah, that's my 2 cents.
I like Craig's comment here that he thought Rossi's 200-foot back check and 200-foot game, yeah. I guess I should say, was good tonight.
The back check was in the first period, I believe. He's right.
You can be not noticeable and still make a positive impact for your team, and I thought Marco Rossi was able to do that this evening. Did he win the majority of his faceoffs? No, he was 3 of 9 tonight, but he logged a lot of minutes. He could have looked overwhelmed. He didn't allow a goal when he was on the ice. It might be a slow burn here. Remember, this guy didn't play hockey last year after an off-the-ice heart issue,
yeah.
and he came back in and looked strong in Iowa, but that's the AHL. I mean, making that – like the OHL, which is where he was when he got drafted and he was the MVP, like the OHL is a high-scoring league. Guys score goals all the damn time, so you kind of got to look at some of those statistics with a grain of salt and match with an eye test to see if this kid's going to be good. The scouting report and the belief that Marco Rossi is going to be an NHL star are strong because he's a 9th overall pick and he's a high pedigree prospect, but it's going to take some time too. But I thought his game was still solid. You know, Boldy gets the goal and you know, that's exciting. And to be honest, I think Boldy, just in his development, because he's played more games for the college ranks and whatnot, is a step ahead of Rossi. But that doesn't mean that Rossi is behind or a detriment or not ready to contribute to this team. I think Marco Rossi's here to stay, and both him and Boldy should be contributing to this team right now.
And Dex, speaking of success, I want to tell you about my personal success. Thanks to my friends at Livia Weight Control Centers, down from around 240 to 208. That's right. The weight continues to come off. A few months ago, I was in a 38-inch waist jean, and truthfully, it was tight. That ain't good. Down to 36 now. And when it comes to weight loss, there's no better feeling than saying, I did it. Take the Livia. I did it 8-week challenge and get your first 8 weeks for free. Now, I'm going to give you an example. In my first 8 weeks, so this is free, okay? In my first 8 weeks on this program, I lost 26 pounds. So 3.6 pounds per week. So what we're saying here is if you make the call now, you can take off 26 pounds. And that part's free. So here's what you do. Call today, 855-GO-LIVEA, or visit Livia.com, Livea.com. Limited time offer. But I remind you, first 8 weeks for free. And during that time, and if I can do it, you can do it. I took off 26 pounds. 855-GO-LIVEA, Livia.com. Okay. I want to get to your thoughts. Kaapo Kähkönen. Cam Talbot is out for a while. I don't know when he comes back, but there definitely is the potential for a crisis in goal. What were your thoughts on his performance in a road game with his team having lost 5 consecutive games?
I thought he looked really good tonight. I did. He's going to be relied upon a lot here going forward if Cam and Talbot's really out week to week. And I thought he looked very sound and very, very solid tonight. The Wild have to, this almost by default, Kaapo Kähkönen is going to have to be relied upon, and the Wild are going to figure out if he's a goalie they can believe in. I was iffy even earlier this year that he's someone you can rely upon to be a normal backup goaltender to Cam Talbot and be the 1B or be the solid number 2 to him. But the Wild have to figure out pretty dang quick if Kaapo is going to be the guy here. I thought tonight against a good Bruins team, he showed up, man. And, you know, you and I don't like to be in a situation when Talbot was healthy that you were burning out Talbot and you're running him out there a ton. But at the same time, I thought Kaapo stood tall tonight. He'll probably get the call again against Washington on Saturday, rightfully so. The Wild are, as of right now, going to be off for 6 days after that. I don't know if a game gets flexed into there. I could see it maybe potentially happening. Who knows, though, with how fluid and everything.
So tired of this.
How dumb everything is. That's what stinks. You know, this was an exciting hockey game. Yeah. The Wild are going to play another damn good team on Saturday. And if everything goes according to plan, they're going to be off for 6 more days again.
Here's what you got to do. And I mean, this is not hard. In fact, they talked about this on the ESPN telecast tonight. They're moving a Montreal-Boston game to Boston with Montreal as the home team. Because they're basically, they don't want to play, although the Leafs played the Oilers last night before no fans in Toronto, which, of course, is an all-Canadian game. That's why they don't want to play games in front of no fans. But then get these Jets games here. Like, you got to play the damn games. Let's stop with this. Just get every Canadian team. They can be the home team. Give them the last change at the X. I don't care what you do. But you got to knock these games off, Declan. Like you got to get them done. You can't have this. Oh, you're going to have to wait for six more. That's ridiculous. Right now, the rules are people at the X are going to have to wear masks, which I think is a small price to pay personally. But you can knock those games off, get them done. Like, this is ridiculous. Seriously. Yeah. If Canada is being more conservative or more concerned than us, that's fine. I'm not even criticizing it. I'm saying you just got to get, like, these Jets games, whatever, get them down here, play the game. Cause this is getting to a point of being ridiculous now.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. I understand that the CDC and everything's changing, but now, I mean, what are you supposed to do for these teams that were supposed to play Canadian teams? Now the Wild, for that exact reason, are off for 6 days after they've only played two games in the last 3 weeks. So now it's like a ripple effect throughout the rest of the league, which is kind of unfortunate to see. But yeah, I mean, the Capitals are in town. Ovi's coming in. Like, I want to see what the Wild do against Ovi.
But no Kaprizov, possibly. That's what bums me out. I'm with you. I want to see Kaprizov play. That's where I just hate that hit, because what's the point of the hit, you know? And if Kaprizov, who I think you're probably right, is not going to play against the Capitals on Saturday, what's the upside of that?
Right.
A lot more fun. But yes, I'm with you. Kapo's play was good. And I mean, the Kapo thing, and I don't think it's good that Cam is hurt, but the Kapo thing that intrigues me is we saw Kapo go through a stretch in the pandemic short in 2020, Dex, or 21, where he was fantastic. So, like, I am curious about him. I can't decide how good he is, but I certainly think that there's ability there. And we are now going to find out probably, you know, the next month or so, if we're right and he can be consistent, or if he's a flash in the pan guy. I think now is a time where we are definitely going to find out.
By the way, a little update on Kirill Kaprizov here from the post-game comments. Dmitry Kulikov, this is from Michael Russo, too, friend of the show from The Athletic. He said Dmitry Kulikov said it felt like it was a dirty hit and that Frederick knew he had him in a vulnerable position. Dean Evason said it was predatory, very frustrated about the way Kirill got hurt. And Evason was quoted as saying, Kirill is as tough and gritty as you get. And if he doesn't come back in the hockey game, it doesn't look good, says Evason. Yep. So I would envision that. Well, number one, all those comments are valid. But two, obviously the most important thing there is probably that you're not going to see Kirill Kaprizov for probably at least a week, if not more.
Oh, I bet it's more than that now. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, the officials could have given five. They gave two, but I don't even blame them. I just hate that hit so much. And this is not a game. I just don't think you can afford to lose your star players in this league to hits like that. They're unnecessary. They're just not necessary.
Yeah, it's ugly.
So anyway, final thoughts before we close her up.
Fun hockey game. It like I said, it's a fun, awesome hockey game, and it was overshadowed by dumb other things. That's what I was itching for this game. I was circling it on my calendar for like the last week, obviously, since the Winter Classic, and so many good things happen. Boldy gets his goal in a debut. Kapo was great. Power play comes to life for the first time, and honestly, your first initial takeaway is, number one, your superstar is out with an injury, and two, the broadcast was just kind of blah. At the same time, you got the Capitals coming to town. Turn the page. I'm excited to see what they do against Ovi and the Capitals.
Okay, final question. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't ESPN just go to a studio show that is formatted like the afternoon show that they do? What's it called, the Power Play or something?
Oh, The Point.
The Point? Yeah. Why don't they just do that? And here's what I don't get, too. So I don't know if we like Torts or not, but I mean, he does say stuff. Why not have a panel that has Torts, Messier, Cone's great, she's fine.
Yeah.
Butchergrass, if you want him involved, and also an information person. Kaplan's great, she's great.
Yeah.
Our friend Wyshynski is great.
Yep.
I don't understand, and the whole thing with like Kaplan between the benches. I'd rather have a former player like tonight between the benches, mm-hmm. and have Kaplan in studio dishing out information.
Yeah, cap bombs, as Butchie calls them, cap bombs.
But I mean, I don't. I'm a little bit confused because I don't know that ESPN, from a studio standpoint, hockey-wise, knows what it's doing.
Like, why don't you just put this? And this is obviously very similar to our point about bringing, pun intended, the point as an intermission report. Like,
yep.
Put Kevin Weeks, Butch Agross,
yeah,
maybe Rotina Tortorella, Emily Kaplan,
or Cohen,
Greg Wyshynski,
yes,
Linda Cohen can kind of be the facilitator, like you said. Like, do it that way, like. If Mark Messier wants to be part of that studio crew,
that's,
fine.
But
fine.
He's the Gretzky.
Right.
But like Gretzky plays TNT, found the perfect role because Wayne is not on a ton. And second of all, when he is, they sort of poke fun and bring Wayne. Because like Wayne would be a bore ass in the role that Messier has. He's just a boring guy. Mm-hmm. But like they poke fun at Wayne. And so then he says stuff and it's fun.
Right.
But yeah, I'm with you. And I really don't get. Game-wise, and this was not the case tonight, I really don't get Kaplan being between the benches when that should be, and it can be, you know, a female player. I don't care. But why don't you have a player in between the benches, and then she can be, to your point, cap bombs, and we can get information. It's a very, like, to me, it's not that hard to fix that. And then as far as the game goes, I wasn't disappointed. I didn't like the fact that the Kaprizov hit was just poo-pooed. But, I mean, I thought that their attempt at the game coverage...
No, yeah, it was
fine. It might not have been great, but it was okay.
It was okay. It was
but
fine.
It's the studio thing, and they don't make the game feel big. TNT does a great job of making... Like last night, Blues Penguins felt important.
Yep.
This sort of just felt like, hey, we're carrying a hockey game tonight. And it's mm-hmm. like, no, I mean, do something special.
No, look, I think it's still a great thing that the NHL is on ESPN. Yeah, mm-hmm. it drops the ball. And
great.
That's what, I get frustrated because, yeah, the local broadcast to me is I can't really get into it. So when they're on national TV, I'm excited. And it's a great opportunity to showcase the Wild. And then you have Wild fans who are just sour grapes over it. And tonight was validated like that. Be sour grapes over this broadcast. I won't even try to defend the broadcast, but right. I just wish it was something a little better, and I'm sure it'll get better over time. I'm sure it will.
All right. Tell people where they can go to watch more Score North content, all that good stuff before we wrap up, Declan.
Yeah, this is Score North, Judd Zolgad, Declan Goff here. We are Judd's Hockey Show. We try to do some post-game analysis. We try to bring in Judd's Hockey Show at least 3 times a week, but we're also the home of Minnesota sports, daily Minnesota sports entertainment right here in your feed. Hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. We're on Apple, we're on Spotify. The Score North app is a central hub for everything Score North. Zolgad's Roundup is up right now.
There's a new one up right now.
I was reading it to the gal in the car when I was waiting for my COVID test.
Bothering your girlfriend during the COVID test when you could be reading about how we can get Kirk Cousins to Cleveland. It makes perfect sense. Leave the gal alone.
Check that out. But hit that subscribe button. For daily Minnesota sports content, we'll be back tomorrow. Mackie and Judd, it's a feedback Friday. Also, Purple Daily, plenty of Vikings speculation and things to get to before they, they play that preseason game number 5 in week 18-19 here. So, as we always do, though, to wrap things up on Judd's Hockey Show, let's go to our friend of the show, Bill Guerin.
Listen, you guys know what this is all about, right? Right? What's it all about? Burgie?
Hard work and having fun.
That. This is about winning.